Hey, this is Brandon Ludwig, and you're listening to Beam Me Up Scotty, starring Kenny, Scotty Too Hotty Guffney, Brian Labuda, Dawson Maiman, and Trevor Dinosaur Lasur.
Introduce yourself to the listeners who may not know who you are.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joe Piazza. That's about it. Thank you so much to the crew here for having me on.
You are more than welcome. And besides 45 Days to Be Rich, tell us some other film projects that you've worked on. We'll go to 45 Days to Be Rich in a second.
Well, I've been doing this for over 15 years. I have a decently lengthy IMDb, a lot of local stuff. A lot of it has been independent projects, all the way to being able to, you know, obviously get some like stand-in extra work with some of the Hollywood films that came through Detroit. So I got to work on films like when I do the Real Steel with Hugh Jackman and the Irishman with Christopher Walken, I think it was.
That's awesome.
That was awesome. It was an experience, you know. It was when we kind of had that tax incentive here in Detroit for that blip.
That's really cool. I actually didn't know that. And I, you know, you and I are Facebook friends, and I also researched you a bit, you know, too, before I came up with the interview questions, and I hadn't even known that. That's awesome. I'm really proud to hear that you got to be in Real Steel, and you said, and The Irishman too, right?
Yeah, and yeah. I did a couple other ones that came through on that. As for local stuff that I'm super proud of that I had done, I can really only say like in the last 5 years, because there's been that lull with what's going on right now. But, you know, I did a film called Wrong that I was thrown onto last minute, but it personally is one of my favorite films I got to do. I was honored to be a part of that one. I was part of a film. I was a lead in a film called Taken Over, which is now called Enigma, actually. And that was a fun production. That was another one I was kind of thrown on last minute, but it was a full length feature, and I was offered the lead role in it. And that came with its perks. I got to work with Dennis Haskin, you know, Mr. Belding.
Yeah.
So I kind of geeked out on that, which was cool. I didn't expect it. I'm really butchering this, because there's a decent amount I've done.
You're not butchering it. You're good. You're good. And, you know, taking that back, so you are a Saved by the Bell fan, obviously. Have you watched the new one, the reboot?
I did, man. Those kind of just make me nervous, because they tend to tarnish the memory, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So I like to just keep the original cast, the original story. I know it's just basically a new generation. That's it.
Right, yeah. I mean, which technically we already had, like, what, Saved by the Bell, the new class, and, you know, we had the college years, and, you know, I mean, we had all these different, you know, iterations of Saved by the Bell before, so, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I watched, like, half of the first episode of the reboot, and, I mean, it wasn't bad, it did not feel like Saved by the Bell to me. It just felt like a completely different show, so... You know,
and to me, that's very concerning, right?
Right. Gonna, yeah.
it takes you out of the whole experience, and then it kind of bums you out, and then it just inevitably makes you feel old, right?
Right, I mean, it does. It wasn't some other reboots that I've watched, like say Roseanne, for instance. It flowed seamlessly. It felt like the original show to me, at least.
Okay,
and but that one didn't. Saved by the Bell did not.
I know, and like you said, I mean, some of them might hit the mark. I'm a little bit more apprehensive about given the time of, you know, the spare time I get to kind of put it into something like that. So,
Did 45 Days to Be Rich come about? I watched it back when it first was available to rent. I rented it and streamed it. I think it was back in April. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I think it was somewhere around in there. It was like right when it first came out, and I watched it and I loved it. So where did that 45 Days to Be Rich come about?
Well, thank you, man. Actually, it kind of goes with the pattern of the other local films I had mentioned, that I was actually thrown on that one last minute. That came to me through the director writer Hani Bey that I had worked briefly with, and they had that whole film casted. And you know, I'm sure some of the listeners here that have been in those plates where, you know, the lead backs out for some reason and they got to fill it within a small period of time. So again, I was super honored to be offered the role, and so all of that was already written. It was already, you know, kind of worked out in pre-production for a few months, I think, before I was even on it. And so that really came from Hani's thoughts on that, our amazing cinematographer and his crew and all the talented people. But that was my first comedy, I gotta say, that I was a part of. And that was daunting in itself, because to me, comedy is one of the more difficult genres, because comedy is so subjective. And, you know, and although my role wasn't generally the comic relief, which kind of was able to be easier for me to digest. So, yeah, it was kind of, hey, read this. Will this work for you? It ended up being the most amount of scenes in it, and I was like, all right, well, this is a lot to cram in, but I love the challenge. And I gotta say, man, I'm incredibly impressed with what was able to come out of it, with how it all turned out. The reception on it has been phenomenal, for, again, a local film. We have wonderful support. Of course, people are amazing when they want to support local art and stuff like that. Yeah. But I think people have genuinely liked and enjoyed the film. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So everybody listening, if you haven't watched 45 Days to Be Rich, please do. It is available, I would say, probably anywhere you can stream a film, right?
I think it's only on Prime.
Oh, okay.
I think it's on Amazon Prime, and then I think there's like two other streaming handles on it, and I'm really sorry that I don't have that prepared.
You're okay, because we will when we drop the episode. We'll plug it, so, you know.
Awesome.
Would you say that you have an actor who has influenced you the most?
I mean, it's very cliche to say, but I don't know if I have one in particular. You know, I think I have a medley of different actors that I just kind of always revered and looked up to and enjoyed their style. It's hard to really pinpoint it, because I think for me, I like to really channel certain actors' abilities and skills and talents based on whatever role or character I'm preparing for.
Right.
So it constantly kind of shifts.
Understandable. Completely understandable. I know that you and I have discussed this before, like through text, but previously, but how many times per week are you sent pics of those Piazza produce trucks out and about?
Man, if probably have like 5 books. No, it's pretty incredible. I mean, the amount of times I get like anything that has Piazza in front of it, and Piazza, I mean, it just means plaza or square. Italian.
Okay.
So yeah, it just is like, so if you go to Italy, everything is like Piazza Day something, Piazza, you know, like this is the area or this is the plaza.
Right. Okay.
It's pretty frequently used, but yeah, I either get a bunch of that or people that just blatantly misread or just see pizza and then they're like, oh, look at that.
Oh, that's the pizza guy, you know? So I was on my way. Actually, I was driving and I saw you know, the truck, and I took the picture real quick and I sent it to you, and I'm like, you know, this is going to be awesome. Betty's never seen this before. You're like, I get those all the time.
Please send them all day long. I love to have that, but you know, again, it's like, it's getting to the point where it is the equivalent of like, oh, did you know your name is so close to pizza? It's
right? Like, okay.
I mean, yes, I know. And or the classic, are you related to Mike Piazza?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I bet you do get that, don't you? Yeah.
All the time. And honestly, I am. Just probably not that Mike Piazza.
Oh, okay.
I have Mike Piazza's in my family, so when people say that, I'm like, yeah, I got a Mike Piazza.
You're like, yeah, I'm related to him. You can technically say that, and it's not untrue, you know?
When
something is a little bit of a white lie, I always say it's not untrue, you know? So it's a nice way of saying it, that, you know. So do you have any projects coming up that you wanted to mention?
Actually, yes. Like I said, this last 2 years has been, I'm not going into like, everyone has been down in the dumps the last 2 years, a lot of bad situations, obviously, but in regards of this world for film and, you know, a lot of projects have kind of been put on hold or pushed back or canceled altogether. And I had a handful that I had in the pipeline for this fall / winter, and they're kind of on hold again. But I did actually get an offer just recently, and I'm actually traveling for it, and I'm super stoked because I've never really gone out of Michigan for film. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be shot in Savannah, but the film is called Go Straight to Hell.
I'm sold already.
Intrigued.
I'm sold already on the title.
A little background, you might know just because we're Facebook friends, but I'm a big horror film buff.
Yes. Like, so yes.
I love it. You know, it doesn't matter if it's super campy and cheesy all the way to like a genuine solid, you know, psychological thriller or something like that.
Oh yeah.
I just
love it.
You know, I think it's so cool. So I'll be on a project in the October 11th, the week of that, I'll be down in Atlanta shooting, for that. So I'm stoked. I have a couple, like comedy series that a couple people pitched to me just recently. But nothing is actually concrete just yet. So I'm sitting idly by,
right.
But meanwhile, I'm just really trying to get back on the horse, man. I miss it so much. I miss being on set.
Oh, totally. So. I bet you do. And also too, like with the title, like I said, I was sold on the title. There was, there's a film that I helped produce. It's coming out soon called, Mutant Vampires from the Planet Neptune.
Yes, please.
And I told my wife, I said, I don't care what it's about. I was like, I love the title. I reached out to the director. I'm like, what can I do to help you? and so he came on the podcast and we talked a bit, you know, and I plugged it, and it was great, you know, and I'm looking forward to it. It should be coming out soon. And it's, they say don't judge a book by its cover. I guess you really shouldn't judge a movie by its title. But, I mean, how can you pass up something like Go Straight to Hell or Mutant Vampires from the Planet Neptune, you know?
Exactly, man. I mean, I always look at, like, a film like Human Centipede, right? Like, yeah. I mean, that was so controversial just by the title and the synopsis of the of what it was about before the film even came out. And then, you know, I think it tanked, as most people expected, but it eventually started taking a hold as, like, this cult classic, you know, like, thriller film. And so, you never know. That's why I'm like, you know, to me, I respect those, like, grindhouse, like, art films.
Absolutely.
House films that are just, you know, so above and beyond the, like, what you're seeing constantly now that we're so desensitized by absolutely anything.
Yeah, true. Very true. I was actually having that discussion this morning. I was saying how, you know, it used to bother me when, you know, in horror films when they killed the dog or the cat, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, I'm so desensitized to it now. I'm not even surprised. I expect it now in a horror film. It used to bother me. I was like, oh no, they killed the dog. And now I'm just like, okay, so they killed the dog. Okay. Moving on, you know, so totally, we're desensitized to it all.
I agree, man. I'm with you. I still do get, and weirdly enough, I am more affected when it comes to, like, animals getting murdered off than people, which is really crazy to say in a film, but you're right, though. Like, that's kind of my point of it, and it's, like, across the board, like, what haven't we seen? You know, what is the best approach to the next film, like, horror film, really? Like, what is the new formula for these? Like, you know, and so I like the grittiness of it, too. I love filming those. Like I mentioned, the film I worked on called Wronged is not a horror by any means. It's definitely more of, like, a drama thriller, but it's got that, like, if you've ever seen the film, like, Green Room.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just dark, you know, and it's a heavy subject matter, but, you know, I think it's one of those things that has that roller coaster of emotions and stuff and a roller coaster of different, you know, shock value that comes into it. And, you know, or you just have those films, like, for me, that I've been a part of that are just like, oh yeah, we have 8 gallons of blood that we have to use in this film, so it doesn't matter what, it's just copious blood all the time.
So do you have any last words you would like to leave the listeners with?
Man, I really don't know. I just say, for all those that are listening that do work in the film industry, that are writing, that are creating stuff, again, I don't mean to sound super cheesy and cliche, but please keep doing it. Keep making stuff. We all have to be safe right now, obviously. Be smart about what we're doing in this world. But, you know, I think, obviously, we all know, right? Like, entertainment has been so leaned on that we almost can't get enough of it. And to me, any artist out there, it doesn't matter that it's just film. I'm a musician too. So it's like, anyone creating stuff is, to me, mentally, has been incredibly important during this time too, to, like, just keep focusing on something and setting goals. That's my biggest thing and my biggest takeaway from this whole experience in the last 2 years is, like, you know, it's humbled everybody. It's really been very overwhelming and not very motivational for a lot of people, and it's easy to be defeatist. And for me personally, I had the ability to revisit playing music independently. I'm a multi-instrumentalist, so I would always set goals every week to, like, learn a new song on guitar, or drums, or piano, or whatever I was playing. And I think that correlates with anything anyone that's listening is doing. So just, you know, keep inspiring, keep on creating stuff. I don't know. I'm going to just say the cheesy, we're in this together, you know?
Hey, this is Trevor LeSueur. Scott, your mail is being forwarded to my house. I don't know why, but I keep getting it. So, and I haven't thrown it away. Okay, I still have it. And why did I not throw it away? Because I'm a nice guy, unlike some people who forward their mail to people without telling them. I'm not naming any names, but you know who you are if you're listening to this, and your name is Scott Kenny Guffey. So, but basically, I have your mail. What I did with it was, do you like dolls, like life-size dolls, sculptures? I'm going to answer that for you. Yes, you do. So what I did was, as a gift from me to you, went out of my way. But again, because I'm a nice guy, unlike some people, Scott Guffey, Scott Kenny Guffey. Can you get a more complicated name? Can you? You got two first names and your last name is Guffey? Is that even a real name? Is that even a real name? Did you make that up on the spot? Or your parents did, or somebody did. Okay, that's besides the point. I took your mail and I paper mache'd a life-size sculpture of you. Okay? And I'm going to put that in a cardboard box and I'm going to send it to you. And I'm going to reverse the charges. What does that mean? That means when you get it, you pay for it. I'm not paying for it. You're paying for it. It's a lot of money, too. It's very expensive. I don't send my art out without it, you know, being carefully bubble wrapped. So here's the thing about it. You can see like bills and stuff like that in the paper mache, like your forehead, I think is your electric bill. There's some magazine subscriptions, Men's Digest, I guess. I don't know why you read that. TV Guide. Who gets the TV Guide nowadays? But you're obviously still getting it because I guess you can't look at the menu on your cable thing. I gotta sit on the toilet and read the TV Guide. Why do you do that when you're in the toilet? And I'm not guessing. I feel like I know it. Intuitively, I know it. But having said that, expect a package in the mail. Again, you're paying for it. And please stop forwarding your mail to my house. It's very, I don't understand why you would do that. Unless, oh wait, I figured it out. You're not a nice guy, Scott. You need therapy.
On behalf of Beam Me Up, please visit AntonYelchinFoundation.org. Thank you.